Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All About Romance. I'm your host, Tricia Harley McCarthy, and today's guest and co-host is Kira Fox. She's debuting her new book, Pass Me By, October 13th. Congratulations, Kira. Let's have a great interview with Kira and find out more about her book and her great writing career. I look forward to having you listen. Enjoy.
Hello, everybody. It's Tricia Harley McCarthy. Pardon me, I'm a little logy. I just came in from Las Vegas today, so it's been a long, long day, and I have my dog with me. She's kind of being my co-anchor here. She's keeping the fort in order. So I just wanted to welcome everyone who's listening and who's calling in. I've got two callers already on hold. And without further ado, I want to introduce Kira Fox. She's releasing her new book, Pass Me By, tomorrow on Amazon. And I urge you to go out and get it. It looks like a great read. It's on my to-be-read list, so I can't wait to read it. I have so many authors I want to read, and this is absolutely one of them. And her other book, Dirty Laundry, looks fantastic. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on Kira, and have her go live. And you're on
Hi,
the air, Kira. Welcome. How are you?
Thank you. I am good, thank you. How are you, aside from jet lag?
I'm good now. I'm having my caffeine as we speak, and I'm doing good. I'm a little more awake, so
caffeine,
and I'm trying to remember how to pronounce your name. And tell everyone where you're calling in from.
I am calling in from Tel Aviv.
How about that? You're my first international guest.
Yeah.
Thank you for being my first international guest. That's great.
So thank you for letting me be your first international guest. It's 2 a.m. here, but I am also very heavily caffeinated, so we're good to go.
Oh, gosh. We're a couple coffee beans jumping around, huh? So that's funny.
I think it's sort of a requisite for writers, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah, coffee, books, writing, I think it all goes hand in hand, and we keep the coffee industry going, I'm sure. And coffee houses and shops, and you name it. So,
yeah,
so that's cool. So tell me about this wonderful book that's coming out tomorrow. And I know you're very excited. We were talking a little bit before the show, and I'm excited for you. I love to have authors come on and be so excited about their books. I think it's fantastic. So tell us a little bit about your book.
So Pass Me By is the first out of a three-book series called the BFF series, and it's called that because it revolves around three lifelong best friends, three girls, now women, and each book tells one of their stories. The first book tells the story of Zoe. She has a PhD in chemical physics. She's sort of this young genius, and she has a bit of a hard time finding a guy who isn't deterred by her intelligence. It's sort of the equivalent of having a girl that earns much more than you, so it's having a girl that's just that much smarter than you. And it touches a bit on the subject of you know, gender equality in that way, but not very heavily. And most guys are very deterred by the fact that she's so smart, and she's basically she's starting to give up on her love life. She's starting to get very insecure, and she's also very lonely because both her best friends moved away to different states. And then this tall, dark, brooding, super hot guy walks into this community college class that she's teaching. And completely by accident gets stuck there the entire class, basically undressing her with his eyes. And she decides, why not? Let's have some fun. And she pegs him as a one-night stand. and basically, I won't go really into details, but they sort of go through the one-night stand, but they also get to know each other a bit first. And they both feel a deeper connection, but they're both kind of scared about pushing it forward. But in the end, the guy, Mac, decides that he doesn't want to give it up, and he pursues her. But he has a very heavy burden from his childhood that he's carrying, and eventually they fall really deep, really fast, and eventually things from his past start weighing down on their relationship as well. And that's basically the story without spoiling it too much.
It sounds very angsty, which is my favorite type of read, with all the insecurities and how complicated love gets and how we have such hang-ups about love, you know, and you don't want to get hurt and this and that and societal norms and all that. It sounds like a great read. It's right up my alley. I love those kind of books. And that's the kind of books I write. So I definitely want to read this. That's my next book.
I've been getting great reviews from the AROC team, so I'm hoping I start getting really good reviews from readers when the book comes out tomorrow as well.
I'm sure you will, and I'll be amongst those fans, your new fans, that will applaud your new book. Hey, we've got our first callers coming in. Would you like to take a live call?
Of course I would.
Okay, let's see.
How exciting.
I believe, yes. This is exciting. I believe this is Susan on the line. Hello? Hello? Susan, are you there? You're live. Well, I'm going to need that. Let me try another caller.
We lost Susan?
She's still there. I don't know what happened to her. Hi, this is Trisha, and this is Kyra. Is this Abby?
This
Hello.
Is Abby. Hello.
Hello, Abby. How are you? Can you hear
Hi,
me?
Hi, Abby.
I'm good. How are you? This is exciting.
I know. I'm so glad you called in. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure. Ms. Fox?
Yes, Abby. Hi.
Hi. Welcome.
You're welcome to you. Glad to have you on.
Oh, thank you. I'm excited to read your book. How soon after the release of this book will your next book be out, or are you going to leave us hanging?
No, okay. So, first of all, you get that's a really good question, Abby. I'm glad you asked.
It is.
I'm a tease. I'm not that much of a tease. First of all, you get a really nice introduction to the characters of book two already in this book, to Brian and Trista, especially to Brian. He shows up a lot in the first book. And my next book is actually planned for release on March 2020.
Oh, nice.
So it's... Yeah, it'll take a bit of time because I'm still writing it and life stuff. I wanted to release it earlier, but life stuff. But it's planned for March 2020, and the third installment is already planned for the winter of 2020. So by the end of next year, you should have the entire series.
Have all three. It's very nice.
Yep.
Does that meet your time frame, Miss Abby?
It does, because it makes for great reading before the summer. So
yeah.
I'm a teacher. I need summer reading. So
that's wonderful. Your job is very well appreciated. My mom's a teacher too, and I salute you for your patience and what you give to children every day.
Thank you, and I salute your mom as well.
I salute
McCarthy.
My mom as well. She put up with me during puberty.
Oh, and that's a fun age. I teach middle school, so yes, that is a fun age. I thank you guys for taking my call. And
thank you
Ms.
for
McCarthy,
calling.
Ms. McCarthy, I'm so glad that Ellie is there with you, keeping you under wraps.
Yes.
Please tell her her boyfriend has said hello. Good.
I will tell her Hudson said hello. Okay. Hey, thank you so much for calling in. You have a great evening. And you want to
You're
stay
welcome.
Online, you can listen if you'd like. I'll keep you online if you'd like
think
to listen
I
to the rest of the show.
I will. Thank you.
Okay. I'm just going to mute you, and I'll see if I can, my other caller's there. Hold on. Thanks, Abby. Love
All
you
right.
here. Take care.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye. Bye, Abby. Thank you.
Hi. Is this Susan? Hello? Hello? I don't think she's there anymore. Okay. We're going to let Abby stay on the line with us. And well, it's lovely that your mom's a teacher. So you had quite a foundation growing up, huh?
Yeah.
You were did they encourage a lot of reading in your house when you were growing up?
It's actually a funny story. I think I encouraged the reading. There's this running joke in our family that my friends got sick of me chasing them around with the books. So by the time I was four, I could read in English and in Hebrew.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
So were you always a writer? Did you always write when you were little?
I actually did. I started out more of a poet, I'll admit. I probably occasionally wrote really short stories, but I wrote more poetry growing up. And then I sort of had writer's block for a very long time. You know, I can't even really explain why. I guess I just sort of went through the growing up phase. Everybody goes through it. And it took me a while to find my voice again.
Yeah, you know, when I was younger, I didn't like to write at all. And I took my creative writing teacher just thought I was a great writer. And he said, you have a lot of talent. And I just thought he was kind of just shining me on about it. But it took me until I was 38 to start writing again. So it was a few years later that I started writing. It took me 5 years to write my first novel. So I understand that aspect
what sparked
of things,
it?
You know, as far as,
What sparked it
probably
for you?
Well, it was writing. It was watching Bridget Jones' Diary, the movie, and then I became obsessed with it because that movie spoke so keenly to me at the time. So I was online looking for things, and I found fan fiction. And fan fiction, you could pretty much extend the characters of your favorite books, movies, comics. You know, make up your own stories and post them online. So I thought, wow, I would love to, you know, continue these characters, Bridget and Mark. And I did, and I started posting. And before I knew it, I was getting really good reviews. I'm telling you, the writing was awful, you know, punctuation, grammar, the whole nine yards. I had to learn all that. So that part was awful. But the storyline itself was very good, and I got very good reviews. So I thought, well, why not start my own novel? And I ended up writing Just As He Is with my very first novel. So it took me 5 years, but I did it. So that's what inspired me. So,
that's amazing.
Are you – I thought it was amazing, too. My family just looks at me like, you write books? You know, like, where did this come from? So my family's not impressed. You know, my family's not impressed as a writer. You know, they're –
obviously, they've
whatever.
Never tried to write a book. It's really hard.
it is. And all the things that go into the book, everyone just kind of sees, oh, yeah, I want to write a book, but they don't see all the work and the editing and the, you know, the marketing and the publishing and all the intricate details that go along with it. So that's the
– figure out
the
hell Amazon wants from you half the time.
Right, exactly. You kind of go from reading,
yeah.
you know, J.K. Rowling's books to thinking, oh, I'm going to be a big success, you know. And, yeah, you can be, but you just have to work really hard at it and be consistent. So it's funny how that all, you know, how people don't understand the inner workings of it. So we've got, I think we've got another caller on the line. Let's see if who this is. Oh, they went away. Well, I guess I'll call back. So, okay, so why don't you tell us a little bit about how you've approached your marketing on this book, because I think what you've done is brilliant, really brilliant, and you've really done your homework. So why don't you share a little bit about with us?
I'm flattered, but I'll admit that I was winging it a bit. it was sort of, yeah. I've been doing what you call on-job training, basically. I started out, I just started writing one day. I just sort of like a switch flipped, and I started writing Pass Me By, which was not supposed to be the first installment. The first installment was actually supposed to be what's now the last installment, but, you know, characters can yell really loud, and then you can ignore them.
Absolutely.
And I started writing Pass Me By. Yeah. And I decided I'm going for it seriously and not just, you know, dabbling around with Word. And I opened my Facebook account and I started joining forums of writers and authors and support groups. And I was sort of dabbling around, trying to figure out what to do with myself, opened an Instagram, got around 50 followers, was really excited about it. And I stumbled upon this post of this woman that was publishing her, I think, maybe 10th or 15th book. And she said she was giving advice to somebody that asked about marketing. And she said, look, I'm not going to tell you to pay if you don't have the money, but what you do need to do is start self-promoting even without paying aggressively a really, really long time before you publish the book. I start a year ahead. I put it on pre-sale and I do teasers and I do cover reveals and on Instagram and on Facebook. And just like I said, I start promoting myself ahead and I do short stories that I give out for free and I have a newsletter and I have followers. And then I said, okay, if I really want to do this seriously, then I have to start doing those things. And
right.
I was also kind of stuck on Pass Me By. You know how that goes. Your characters yell at you, and then they just go radio silent for no reason whatsoever. I didn't even kill anybody in the book. And I said, okay, I need a break. I need to air out. And my book is a bit heavy, like I said. It gets a bit angsty. And I decided I need a rom-com break. And I wrote Laundry Day. I had this idea. I was folding laundry. I have a 2.5-year-old, so you can imagine the amount of laundry that I have to fold every day. And I was folding laundry, and I was just standing there, and I took a photo, and I put it on my personal Instagram, and I said, and I kind of wrote, nobody ever tells you about this part of life. You're just sitting on the couch surrounded by piles of laundry. And then I said, nobody ever tells you about this part of life. And I decided, and that's how I got the idea for Laundry Day. And I wrote it more on the comedic side. It's a bit contemporary. It's got a bit of, you know, moments, but it's much lighter. It's much more on the comedy side than it is on the heavy side. And I said, okay, so I wrote it, and it's short. It's a novella. It ended up being less than 40,000 words. Why not use this as a hook? And I put that on BookFunnel for free as a newsletter engager. And I think the book downloaded about 2,000 times before I put it on Amazon, before I decided to take it off the newsletter promotional. And I have almost 1,400 newsletter subscribers just from that. It stopped being brief over 2 months ago. I have 1,400 newsletter subscribers. I'm getting new ones through my site every day. And parallel to that, I've been really, really working hard on Instagram and Facebook as well, but mainly Instagram. I find that to be a better platform for writers because,
there's
a cockroach running right in front of me as we speak.
Oh.
I'm sitting on my beanbag with my computer open talking to you, and there's just a cockroach running across the floor.
Oh,
sorry.
We just got
sidetracked
that's
a
fine.
Bit.
That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
No problem.
Okay, where was I? Okay. And I started out dabbling a bit with the paid promotions and it really didn't bring me the quality of followers that I wanted, and
right.
it didn't bring me definitely not the volume of followers that I was looking for. And I slowly started
okay.
connecting. First, it's actually funny. My first connections were through cover art. I have a few cover artists, a couple of cover artists that I work with. And
yeah.
I actually started making connections through their group, you know, because writers, and they talk, and you talk genres, and you talk ideas, you see a cover, and you talk potential storylines for the guy. And I started connecting to there, and then I started connecting with them through Instagram, and I was introduced into this amazing indie community. Just spectacular
yeah.
community. You know you're part of it. And
yeah.
The first thing I did with them was actually the August Romance Writers Challenge, where every day you post something according to a
right.
list. And I started growing and growing, and then I got introduced into the Loop fam, and that was not that long ago. My first Loop was in August. And you know Loops
yeah.
be crazy.
Yeah.
And
loops
and
make you
my first Loop was... yeah, Loops make you loopy, and I have been admining the last two Loops. Let's not talk about how loopy that makes you. I actually admined a Loop today. It's been crazy. My first Loop was in August. That was 3 months ago. And 3 months ago, my first Loop, I had 90 followers. And today I hit 1,000 from Loop,
that's,
from connecting. And
yeah.
and I've been learning so much about book funnel and about promoting yourself organically. All my followers are organic. I don't have any non-organic followers left. And it's just been amazing. It's been an amazing journey. I've been working my tush off, and I've barely been sleeping, and I have a release tomorrow, and I did a Loop in the morning, and I'm with you on the phone now, and I spent the day taking a trip with my kid and my husband. And basically, it's a lot of juggling. It's a lot of, it's a lot of balls flying around in the air, but it's so fulfilling as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. On a personal level, my mom needs my help right now, so I've been kind of focused on that, and I've got a lot of things coming up that I need to focus on with my writing, so that I find is going to have to find, I'm going to have to find my balance with all that, so that's part of, you know, it's just like you said, part of life, and juggling everything, and trying to fit everything in and be quality about it, you know, with everything, your family, your writing, whatever else you do. So that's also a tricky, sticky wicket, I guess, to find that balance. And that's one that's always going to, I think for anyone who has a lot of fingers in the different pies going on, it's
yep.
Definitely. Yeah.
I think
so,
it's a struggle for everyone. My husband's a doctor and he struggles with the same thing. It's a human thing, I think.
I think so. I think people nowadays, especially with technology, we're always stuck with our phone in our hand, and we're so stuck to it. You know, it's an addiction. You know, there is a thing, you know, for addiction with this type of thing, you know, that those endorphins get going and you just love it. You know, you feed off of it. But I think it also adds an element of not being very social interpersonally, you know, for personal people, you know, for your own family, for your own friends. Sometimes you just are so impersonal with technology that it gets to be too much, I think. So sometimes I have to unplug, honestly, because it's overwhelming at times, and especially with all the loops and all the people that want you to do all these things. And it's exciting, but at the same time, it can be a little exhausting when you're trying to juggle all these, you know, balls in the air. So, but it's fun.
Yeah, that's true.
It really is fun. And
So,
how long have you been writing? Excuse me.
Specifically for these books. Since June.
Yeah.
Not a long time at all. I
wow.
I really ran forward with it.
I love it. So you're really focused on getting this done because it's like you said, your characters talk to you, and that's just like a fire in your belly.
Yeah.
Really.
You can't really ignore them once they start. They just plague you until you get them on paper.
I know. I've dreamt of conversations in my head with my characters. It's just, they just want to talk all night long, and I'm like, oh, I need some sleep. So it's crazy how that happens. You know, you morph into this character, you know, in character mode, writing mode, and just want to write all the time, not have to deal with too much outside, outside things. And that's fun. That's real fun. So,
it is.
Who's your inspiration?
I think generally in life, all the women in my family are inspiration. My tagline is "Dare to Desire," and the reason that's my tagline is because a lot of time I think women are portrayed a bit as shy and sexually not confident and a bit more, even if you have the sassy extroverted character, and then they get to bed and she sort of closes off, and as verbal as she was, she can't really verbalize what she likes and what she wants. And that really, you know, stabs at me because I didn't grow up in a family like that. I grew up in a family of very strong women. And one of the things that I always appreciated, especially the older I got and especially the more I talked about this with my girlfriends, especially after my book came out, was that I always knew, and I'm not saying this as in I had a lewd family life or had these crass conversations with my mom about these things, but it was always very obvious to me that intercourse is not just something that you do, and it's not just about intimacy, and it's not just about love. It's also something you're supposed to enjoy. Like, sex is something that's supposed to be enjoyable, and you're supposed to know how to enjoy it as a person, not just as a woman. And a lot of times,
right.
I think it's very cultural that women aren't supposed to verbalize that they enjoy sex, and aren't supposed to verbalize to their partners what makes them enjoy sex. And I make a very conscious point of writing my women exactly as the kind of women that can verbalize what they want and what they like and just enjoy the act and enjoy doing it with the men that they love, and not just because they love them, but just because, you know, it's fun. And I have received a lot of feedback about that from people very close to me, that I was surprised to hear that from them. They were really, really close friends of years that have told me that it's so refreshing to read women that way, that they dare to desire. And I think the inspiration of that is the fact that I have very strong female role models in my family, whether it be my grandmother or my mother and my sister and my aunts. I have some very strong, positive female role models, and I think they really inspire me to write women the way I write them.
That's amazing. I was personally raised Catholic, and so most Catholic girls that I've ever knew were repressed. My mother was grew up like that, and so sexuality wasn't really discussed, or it wasn't really talked about, or, you know, it was all hush-hush, and, you know, you don't talk about that, and, you know, talk about baby, where babies come from. That was not something, I mean, I was taught that, but it was always seemed like it's so secretive. And what I love about the writing, and as I've gotten older, that I've learned to kind of express my sexuality through my books. And the subject came out last week about when I had ML Broom on, about how some people perceive romance novels as smut. And my friend, ML, said, you know, what you write is love stories. It's not smut. So, you know, I love that she put it that way because it really did exude, you know, what I'm trying to do. And not every page is sexual. It's, you know, it leads up to that, but it's always well-placed in the story. And I like writing the story itself. So, yeah, I had to kind of get over that because I'm kind of insulted because I don't go around insulting other authors who write whatever they write. I always support other authors. So for someone to have said that to me, I was kind of taken back that, you know, they were labeling me as a person who's, you know, kind of pushing pornography in a sense, you know, and that's not true at all. There's a story behind everything. And even with 50 Shades of Grey, there's a story, you know, which I love. I didn't listen to the naysayers because they're saying, oh, it's just smutty. It's, you know, every page is sex and blah, blah, blah. Well, I ended up liking the book very much because I like the storyline. So I don't, you know, try to listen too much to what people say. I make my own opinion as far as books go. So what's your opinion on all that?
My opinion is exactly that it's opinion. I think it's all very subjective. What might be exactly. I actually asked this in an erotic writer support group, and I said, what's the difference between writing erotica and just, you know, writing a sexy romance novel? And people kept saying, giving me different answers. And it made me realize that, sure, I can define myself as erotica because I have very graphic scenes and I like writing it that way. And you know, I write it the way I like to read it. I write it in a way that they always say, if you don't feel it, your audience won't feel it. So I write it in a way that I feel is sexy and turns me on. But it made me realize that everything is very subjective. Even inside the erotic writers community, not everybody agrees on what is erotica and what is over-the-top erotica and what is not enough erotica. So I say if you don't like it because it feels too sexy for you, that's very much yours, and just don't read it. Like nobody forces me to read horror novels which scare the hell out of me, so I'll never read them. But I'll never go and, yeah, and you know, I'll never go and be derogative towards a horror writer just because I don't like the genre.
Right.
I hate when people do that. Sorry, it's just one of those things that really makes me wonder why.
I agree. Because this all came up because I was I went to the state fair in Oregon and there was no romance authors represented it, and I thought that was kind of odd. And of course, the impression I got from the gentleman who runs the thing was, well, I'd have to look at your book to see, you know, if it would offend anybody. And I was like, really? You know, do you go around and look at everyone else's books, you know, and see if it's going to offend somebody? You know, I just was taken back by that, and I took exception, and I went to the governing board of the fairgrounds, and I said, look, you know, I felt like I didn't want to participate because I'd be, you know, discriminated against as a romance author. And you know, it was kind of hurtful when you're perceived that way, and it's not that way at all, you know, unless you've read it and you've looked at it and know about it, then, you know, keep your opinion to yourself, because you really don't. You're talking about something you have no idea about. So that was kind of my
absolutely
take on that. It was just
it's that misconception that romance is for desperate, sexually unsatisfied housewives. And it's really not. I've been reading romance since my early 20s, and trust me, I was and still am very sexually satisfied as a human being. So it has nothing to do with that.
Yeah, and I started out reading historical romances initially, and boy, talk about graphic. A lot of those were very graphic. They had a lot of violence in them because historical references, you know, dictate that type of way of life for women back, you know, in the 1800s or the Regency period, whatever, you know, historical period it was. And it didn't faze me at the time. Now it seems like everyone's all up in arms about anything, you know, that's violent and, you know, against women, which is right. You know, we should stand up and rise against that. But, you know, it's part of life too. When you write about life, you know, you write about your life experiences or what you like and what you know. So I, you know, it's, that's a fine, it's a double-edged sword, I guess, in a sense. When,
I get what you're saying.
When you're trying to approach a subject matter, like a book I'm writing now, a gentleman was in a hospital bed and he was assaulted by a woman, and you know, he's a big, huge guy, and if the story were to come out in public, who would believe the guy versus the woman, you know, who is a petite thing that she could possibly do something like that? And so luckily someone was witnessing the whole thing, so he had some backup. But just to bring that part of, you know, sexual assault in a sense, you know, for a man,
interesting.
That happens. Yeah, it happens.
Yes,
it
does.
And of course,
it happens, and it's
so,
very underrepresented. It's amazing that you did that.
Yeah. Well, I didn't go into the story writing about that. It just came up, and I thought, well, okay, it's in the story now, so it needs to be addressed. And, you know, it's kind of a darker story. So, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, the characters are working out. And part of it, I'm sure there's a shadow side of myself that's part of this story along the way. Because, you know, we all have some experiences, I'm sure, that we instill into our characters when we're writing. Because, you know, you write what you know. And that's, you know, these voices show up and they sound so mature and so exactly what you need to write. It's amazing how this comes out of nowhere. I don't know if that's happened to you, but, you know, it seems like
I know
a lot about, like, it. Yeah. So you go, where did I learn this? Because it's not something I would normally read or think about or you know, watch on TV, whatever. And it's always amazing to me. You know, I have a story consult, and we talk about each chapter as we plot it. And I'm telling you, what we plot and what comes out are two different things. So, you know, I try to
exactly what happened to me with the second book, by the way.
Yeah,
that's exactly what happened to me with my second book. I set out to write a friends to lover story, and it just took like a twist. And I'm just looking at what I've written and thinking, like, dude. Brian and Tristan, what the hell is wrong with you? Where did that come from?
I know exactly.
Totally that.
And yeah. So I'm attempting a suspense novel right now, and it has some real dark elements. And I even have one of my beta readers. I'm not going to read that because it's not something that I'm comfortable with. So, you know, that's fine. I have no problem. I said, but it's going to be really good. So it's not, you know, something that would horrify her beyond belief, but it's also a good story, you know. But, you know, but like you were saying, it's to each its own, and, you know, you have to respect people, and you have to expect triggers, too, because triggers for people when they're reading something could be a very traumatic thing. You know, if you're reading something about rape or, you know, incest or whatever, you know, whatever the heavy subject matter is, and then you read it in a book, it just might bring up, you know, those dark feelings that you experience. So I get that. I get that part from a reader.
Yeah, your book sounds really interesting.
The triggers. Oh, thank you. My books, I try to write unique stories. It's not something that everyone writes, but, you know, we all have our own voice, and, you know, mine tend to go a little outside the norms as far as, you know, stories go. And I write contemporary and paranormal. So, and it's not the normal, you know, paranormal, or it's not the normal contemporary. It's kind of a conglomeration of different things. So, but it's also that voice again that shows up, and, you know, the story takes an unexpected twist. So it's like, where did that come from? But, you know, I'm kind of the queen of cliffhangers. So my beta readers get very emotional with me about, you know, when's the next chapter coming? It's like, when's the next series going to come out? Abby asked that question. The question dreaded by all authors about when the sequels or the prequels are coming out, you know.
We all have all these things we want to write. We just don't have time.
I know. I know. We would not get any sleep, and we'd just live on caffeine if that's the way it actually went, you know, as far as writers go. But then we have to live life, too. You know, we have to pay the bills. We have to clean the toilets. You know, it's you know, we're all human beings.
Exactly.
And we have to, you know. So, but I love the story about the dirty laundry. I thought that was fantastic because you're right. That's like a segment of life that doesn't really get spoken about, because most romance novels are, you know, you see the glamour, you see them falling in love, you see the angst, you see the makeup at the end, and it's a happily ever after. And then, you know, you don't really see the life, the messy life in the middle, you know. You know, you've been married 5 years, you're married 7 years, whatever, you know, 10 years. How does life develop, you know, in those years? So I thought that was really cool that you did that, because that sounds very unique to me. I love
Well, I think more people should write about real life, especially in romance novels. I mean, otherwise, how do you relate? I just want to let you know that the cockroaches are really digging this conversation. I just keep seeing it coming back and forth.
Oh, my. So he's really attracted to this conversation.
I'm going to go kill
him. Huh?
Yeah, apparently the cockroach is a romance fan.
And my dog's been actually very good. I told her she's gonna get, you know, she's gonna get in trouble if she's not quiet. So she's a great companion when I'm writing. She'll just lay there and just sleep next to me when I'm writing. So
I
so far
forgot she was
good.
Even there until you mentioned it.
I know.
She's so quiet.
She's been in dog daycare, so she's a little tired from playing with the other dogs. So she doesn't realize she's a dog.
Ah.
She's with us so much. Yeah, so she's kind of tired too. So that helps a lot. So if you were, you know, if you're mentoring another author, say a new author who might be listening at some point, what would your best advice be to them as far as, you know, what to do to keep them motivated, to keep them inspired? Because, you know, this line of work is not always for the, you know, it's not for people who can, you have to have a thick skin. You really do.
You do. First
do you
of all,
that?
That's, I think, is the biggest advice you can give to anybody who is going into a public platform and putting themselves out there, especially the way we authors do, because like you said, there's a piece of us in everything we write, and whether it's big or small, some of who we are is always in there, and it can get really bad if you don't know how to take criticism in stride. And when I say that, I mean not ignore it and be Teflon, because in the end your readers are the people who you rely on for your livelihood and for your work to get out there. But you have to be able to take the criticism and strip it down to what is useful to make you better as a writer. And not get offended if people don't like your work. I've had people, I had somebody that gave me a 3-star review on Laundry Date because she felt that it was rushed and she wished it was she would have more in some scenes. And I could get very offended that she said my writing was rushed and she gave me a 3-star review. But instead, I chose to look at it in a way that, okay, she liked what I wrote enough to want to see more, and she felt like she didn't get enough, and it taught me to look at my future works a bit more in depth and try to fill in gaps in places that readers might be more interested in, and put an emphasis on it when I send it to my editor, so she would give me another point of view to see if there are places that I should thicken up the plot. And that, I think, is my first biggest advice to anybody that is even considering to put themselves out there like that. Like, be able to take criticism without sitting for days at home and crying with a pint of Ben & Jerry's, because otherwise you'll never get anywhere. And realize that you're exposing yourself. And I think another advice I'd give, which is easier probably to implement, is I know indies live on a budget. Trust me, so do I. And it's really hard to understand what's important to put your funds towards. Never, ever compromise on editing. Never. It's amazing what a difference it makes. I read so many indie books since I started being a writer, and the editing is sometimes the difference between you have a great plot line, but what the hell happened there, to, wow, this book is a 5-star amazing review. Like, don't skimp out on editing. Find other places to cut down, but never, ever skimp out on editing. Always put funds towards editing and quality editing.
I'm gonna play devil's advocate, because you're right. And people go, well, it's too short. Well, that's the point. It's a novella. So I recently got the same 3-star because it was too short. And I want to know more about the characters. Well, it's a novella for a reason, because, you know, you have a certain amount of story you want to tell, and, you know, it's flattering that they want more, which is great, obviously, but it's a novella, so it's going to be shorter. So it's not a secret.
Yeah, it.
Look at the.
Obviously, it didn't make me go back and change Laundry Day. I'm very happy with Laundry Day the way it is. But my point was that you should try to carve out the helpful parts of the criticism, even if it's a bad one.
Absolutely.
And always beta.
I totally agree with you on that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
like, Pass Me By would have been a terrible story if I wouldn't have betaed.
Yeah. And they're your lifeblood right there. They're your biggest fan base right there, you know, to start off with. And I just treasure all my beta readers, and they're just the most wonderful, loyal people that, you know, I've ever encountered. So I'm so thankful that they want to read my stories, and they're patient with me to read my chapters, and they're just so supportive, and they just are the salt of the earth, in my opinion. So I'm hoping betas are listening that they really know how much I appreciate that. I might try to tell them that, but it's always good to hear it too, because it doesn't always, you know, transcend in on social media, you know. So
I've sent a link of my Goodreads page of Pass Me By to my betas with the 5-star reviews and said, I would have never gotten there without you. Thank you. And I wanted them to know how much they helped me get there. No, I have a question for you. No. About the men in your book. Yeah, because you started talking about the very, very non-tropey, very extraordinary situation that you're writing in your whip. But I was just wondering, you've been published a lot since you started writing, and I've always had this sort of ambivalent feeling towards the men in the romances that I've read. And I try to write them very differently. And if we're talking about people that inspire me, I have to give a giant shout out to my dad about how I see men in real life and in my novels in the most positive way. And I was just wondering how you feel about that, how you write your men, how would you like to see a man in a novel? How much of real life inspires you to write them opposite or to write them exactly the same? It's always interesting to me to hear, because it's a difficult thing with men and romance novels, I think.
Yeah, and well, honestly, in my family, I don't have a lot of strong role models that I look up to, like you have with your dad. I really don't. And so for me, I would have to say it would be my uncle Bernie, who was just the best guy in the world. He was kind of the only man in my life that ever made me feel really special. It was my mom's brother, and he passed away some odd years ago from a car accident. But if I have to model anyone off of him, that would be kind of him. And if I have to model anyone after kind of the not so nice guys, it'd probably be my biological father. So it's kind of cathartic too to address it and write it and kind of release it, because when I think you write things, it gets it out of your system, you know, and it, you kind of put it down on paper. So in the same story I was telling you about, the father of this, of my character Zoe, which is kind of interesting because you have a character Zoe, she has this very difficult father. And, you know, you always kind of beat your head against the wall trying to get approval and love and, you know, whatever else that you're striving towards. And she has to make peace that that's never going to happen. So, and, you know, she makes peace with that in the book at the end. So I think that it brings the character full circle. And part of that, it brings me full circle too, because, you know, when you write, part of your soul that's on that page. So I think it's healing, actually, for me personally. So it kind of gives me a different perspective. Like, don't take it so personally, you know, that person is that way and that's how they're going to be. It doesn't really affect you unless you allow it to. So that's kind of how I perceive that. And, you know, my Granite Bay series, all the women are strong and they kind of save their men in various ways. So they're kind of the superheroes in the books. Each one of them do it in a different manner. So I kind of write that strong female lead too, because I think for me, that's an aspect of me that never really showed that part of myself. So it kind of counterbalances, you know, how I really want to be in life and try to pursue that. Anyway, thank you for the question. I hope I answered.
No, that's amazing. It's amazing how. I think it's amazing how I think every writer's writing, no matter what they write, is sort of a balance between who they are and who they wish they were.
Yes, I think that's us underneath all the layers, you know, where we kind of peel the onion and we kind of start looking at ourselves, because, you know, you're kind of, it's kind of like being under a microscope, if you will, and you kind of have to draw from your own experiences to really make it seem realistic. And, you know, that's true. You know, if you connect on an emotional level with a reader, that is probably the best compliment, because they feel it too.
I know.
So you've done your job in that. Yeah.
It's cognitive dissonance when a reader says, your book made me cry, and on the one hand you're like, oh no, I made you cry, and then on the other hand you're like, yay, I made them cry.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that scene I was talking about with the man being assaulted, that made like three of my betas cry, and I'm like, wow, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make you upset, but it really connected with them. And so, you know, you kind of don't want to be happy because someone's crying, you know, but it kind of like, it's flattering. It's flattering when you,
exactly,
you know, have someone say that to you. So it was cool. It was really cool. It was a cool moment, you know, to write something like that. And I can't give too much away because that's my hockey romance that's coming up soon. So I've got a lot of stuff coming
up. I won't
make
you.
Thank you. So we've got a few minutes left in the show. We lost one of our callers because I think I went too long without answering their phone call. I apologize to the caller who called in. I'm sorry. We were talking. And so we're getting down to our last minutes here. Is there something you want to share with me, with people listening, about your writing, your career?
Wow. Well, I think we talked about so many things. I'm trying to think of
I know.
I have to sum all that up now.
Oh,
I think the
well,
most
actually,
important
going
thing
up, well,
I've learned. Oh, we have a caller?
No.
We have a caller.
We're almost going a full hour. So, yeah. So
yeah, I've noticed. I thought I boxed off 30 minutes,
yep.
but I was having so much fun talking that I just kept going.
I know. Yeah. No, I figured might as well add more time. And if it ends early, then that's fine too. But if it doesn't, that's great, you know.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell people where they can find your books, where they could find you on social media? Why don't we do that?
Let's do that. That's perfect. I never think about that stuff. And then you talk about how I have this amazing, amazing promotional strategy. And it didn't even occur to me, those things. What would I do without you, Tricia? So all my books are on Kindle
really
and Kindle Unlimited.
Great.
None of us do. All my books are on Kindle and Kindle Unlimited. You can find them by...
Where can they...
Hmm?
Go ahead.
Sorry.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh.
I didn't mean to interrupt
you.
You
can find them just by either looking for the title or typing my name, Kyra Fox, Kindle, and they'll just jump up first choice in Google. You can find me on social media under Kyra Fox Author. I have a page. Find me on Instagram. My handle is Kyra Fox Author. Most of my updates go there. And my website, surprise, surprise, is KyraFoxAuthor.com. You can sign up for my newsletter. I don't send a lot of updates, usually only once a month. I think once every 2.5 weeks was the closest they've ever sent. I don't like being bothered by newsletters, so I don't bother my followers, my subscribers. It's my newsletter. I don't have Twitter. I do have Goodreads. You can find me there as well. And go check out Pass Me By on Goodreads.
Yeah,
I do have BookBub as well.
As an author.
Of course.
Good. Great.
I am on BookBub.
Yes. Yeah. It's a good
I haven't
format.
Tried their,
I'm not on
you know,
there as much.
Yeah, it's a less used platform for some reason, even though it's a good platform. But
right.
I'd be very happy if all the listeners would drop by Pass Me By's page on Goodreads and read all the amazing reviews, which made me cry a couple of times. I'll admit there were some really good reviews there that were just so – no, there were some really heartfelt reviews there that just – readers amaze me. It's amazing sometimes that you don't even understand how amazing readers are.
See, you make your betas cry, they make you cry, so they get back at you for that. Oh, that's great. I'm very happy for you, and I'll give a plug to Lawrence Hall, who will be my guest next Saturday at the same time, 4 p.m., Blog Talk Radio, All About Romance. He'll be debuting his novel soon called Vigilante's Choice, which is a sequel to Vigilante, his first paranormal romance. So we're going to have our first gentleman romance author on next week. So that's another cool
He's one hell of a guy.
In the community. Yeah, he is. He's a great guy. And
Lawrence, you're the
I
best.
Love,
we love you. I had to do that. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's fine. I hope he'll listen to this broadcast, and I hope a lot of people are listening, because you know it's a new show, so we're starting a little on the slow side. But you know, I think it'll have traction and give platform to authors such as yourself and myself, who really need someone to make sure that their name gets out there. Because you know, my mantra is pay it forward. You know. Someone helps you, you help someone else. Just being a decent person, you know, just pay it forward. So I'm hoping
I totally agree.
What we're doing for you. I love it. I love it. I love you. You're great. I love interacting with you on social media. Kyra is fantastic. She's a great loop leader, I guess would be the term, or admin. So,
I'm a loop. I don't know. I'm a loop minion, but Lawrence is the loop master.
Yeah.
I am a loop minion.
Yeah.
Don't take it away from him.
The loop king. I will say thank you so much for calling in from Tel Aviv. That was amazing that you did that. You're my first international guest, and I think that's wonderful. And thank you so much for spending your time with me and our audience and taking the calls. And thank you, Abby, for calling in. That was fantastic. And
I had the best time. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. I loved every moment. It was great. And thank you so much. And you have a great evening and get some rest. Good
morning.
Tomorrow on your debut. Yes, debut.
Thank you. Have a great evening, Trisha. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care. Thank you, Kyra. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great weekend.